Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Sometimes I just don't know what to do. Sometimes I don't know if I'm supposed to wait on the Lord. Sometimes I don't know if I'm supposed to act. Sometimes I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do, and I get afraid. And so I just have to wait. Sometimes I have to wait on the Lord, and I have to listen and be aware. And sometimes I don't know what to do, and that's okay. But I can be with somebody that might need something, or I might listen to somebody that I might not want to listen to. I might have something to share that someone needs to hear. Sometimes it takes a moment to hear. Sometimes it takes the quiet. Sometimes it takes the middle of a wonderful verse in a song to get some little epiphany. But if we keep going to the Lord and keep asking, knock and the door will be opened. Ask and ye shall receive.
Come on. Amen.
He's there for us. All we have to do is ask.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And if we don't know what to do, if we don't know how to be there for somebody, if we're not sure how long we're supposed to wait, it's hard to wait. But be aware, be very present in the moment, not thinking so far ahead or remembering so far behind, but waiting on the Lord and just being in His presence. Just search. Just, God says to love Him. Just love Him and love your neighbor. And that's everybody. That's all of us. That's all of His creatures, all of His children.
Okay. Thank you. I got to watch out for this hole because I might get excited. So all these songs today were just right on. I want to thank you guys. Many of you know my mother went to heaven this past Monday. Praise God. Woo! I can't even imagine the glory that she gets to see. I don't know the last time that I saw my mother, aside from what she passed, but her knees were, she was in pain. And I just think of my mother going like, she's just a dancing. And the glory is just so awesome. I want to thank you guys. You know, the Lord calls us not to a building and not to a school. Yes, those things are good, but He calls us to love people. And you guys stepped out and you guys loved me and my dad, and you loved us. And then, you know, and I also say, you know, this is a house full of believers. And when the enemy comes your way, whether he doesn't want to let you sleep or whatever, you just thank him for another opportunity to believe. You say, thank you for another opportunity to believe. And then pretty soon he'll walk away and go, don't touch her. She's a believer. Woo! Praise God. Thank you all for your support.
That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. So this past week, when Brother Steve reached out to me and said they had to leave town, and could I do the Bible study this morning? I said, of course. It's one of the few weekends that I'm home. Thank God. It's good to be home. So I started wondering, what will we teach about? And okay, it's only 45 minutes, short study. And I've got, oh boy, I've got many, many lessons in the notebook. So I sat down and I was thinking about it. And Psalm 97 popped into my head. Psalm 97. Why would I want? Okay. All right, Lord. Maybe. And I pondered it, and I pondered it. And then last night, okay, this is it. What are we going to do tomorrow morning? Pulled out the book, started leafing through it, and every page, Psalm 97. Psalm 97. Somebody here needs to hear Psalm 97 this morning. The majestic King. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coasts and islands be glad. Clouds and total darkness surround Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Fire goes before Him and burns up His foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world, and the earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens proclaim His righteousness. All the peoples see His glory. All who serve carved images, those who boast in worthless idols, will be put to shame. All the gods must worship him. Zion hears and is glad. Judah's villages rejoice because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high over the whole earth. You are exalted above all gods. You who love the Lord, hate evil. That's a command, people. It is. He protects the lives of his faithful ones. He rescues them from the power of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous, gladness for the upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name. That psalm just talks and resonates with the majesty, the glory that is our Lord and Savior. Praise God.
Good morning, everyone. I'm just going to have it come down here. This is Isaiah 55:11, and it goes a lot with what, you know, everyone is saying. And it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know, we have a word that gives us hope. We have a word that is living truth, and it's good today as it was yesterday, and it's going to be good for tomorrow. So please, whatever you're going through, find the scripture that you can stand on, that you can believe our Lord for, because he will bring it to pass, because his word does not return void. And you know what? Everyone's going through something. And whether it's the loss of a loved one, but faith that she knows where mama is, it's, you know, missing those that have gone on that are in heaven. So please find the word. You've got the tools in your hand in the Bible, in his word. So start using it. Why are we not believing, and why are we not seeing more miracles? Is because we think it's a good word, but we don't believe it's for our time now. So please find the scripture that makes a difference for you, and God will show you what the word is, and then you stand on it, because it will not return void. So take the time to get deeper in a deeper relationship with our Lord, so that you can walk in victory all the time, and that you can have joy when you least think you're going to have joy, because even in the dark moments, he gives us joy. So praise God.
Okay, so since I moved here from California this year, I've been hearing no condemnation, no condemnation. I go to a Bible study on my block, and there's a woman who this past Wednesday told a story about her mother. She's ill, and she believes she can't be forgiven. And I asked Cynthia, I go, Cynthia, what is it that she believes she can't be forgiven for? And I said, read her that scripture, no condemnation. And I even gave an example, and I said, who's the worst criminal? Hitler. Tell her that if Hitler, before he committed suicide, asked for forgiveness, the Lord would have forgiven Hitler. Give her examples like that. So so recently, my husband, that sounds nice. My husband, I shared something very personal with him, and I tell him I've been asking for forgiveness for something that I did over 20 years ago, and I've been asking for 20 years, please forgive me. And he said, honey, God forgave you the first time you asked. He knows your heart. And I said, huh? And I said, no. I'm going to keep on asking him to forgive me. Every time it pops into my head, I will ask. I don't want to live eternity without Christ. I just want to make sure. So I hear no condemnation. I don't know exactly where that verse is in the Bible. And he shared with me, he goes, read, study the book of Romans, because it talks about grace. And I read it. Simple, Romans 8:1, therefore there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. And this week, I ask God to forgive me one more time for for that sin, that iniquity, that infraction, because that was a lie straight from hell telling me that I was not forgiven yet, and I had been forgiven for over 20 years. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Good work. Good work.
We all know Jeremiah 29:11, right? I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, but to prosper you, give you hope in the future, right? And then if we seek him, we seek him with our whole heart, that he'll answer us, right? But sometimes it's hard to wait for that answer, right? And when you're talking about waiting earlier, I was thinking about this right here. And so many times we try to make stuff happen under our own power. But let me tell you, like, if you want a godly result, you need to perform godly actions, right? It's not going to happen by however you try to make it happen. And if you look earlier in chapter 29 of Jeremiah, it says this. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. To all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord, for it is because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So, what I want to encourage you is, if you are waiting for something, okay, first of all, let's pray. It's not 70 years like Israel, right? But if you are waiting for something, make sure that you're living the life God has called you to. Because there's actual power in the waiting. And notice that they actually said to prosper the city in which you've been exiled in. So many times we're looking to make changes in ways that aren't really effective. If we think we argue with people enough, if we, prove our point well enough, it'll change things. But there's nothing more powerful than demonstrating the love of God. So I encourage you just to live life as God has called you to, and be patient, because his burden is light. When we're trying to do things under our own power, it's going to be hard. Now, it may still be difficult when we're doing it God's way, but we always know that the result is going to be victory. It's going to be success. And in all that time, in all that struggle, we'll still have peace and we'll still have joy.
So I felt like God wanted me to share scripture, and Abe's went perfectly with what he gave me. So 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against us, against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete." I liked what Abe just said, because this scripture was, two people talked, and I was like, oh man, God, I don't know if I should say that. But the truth is when we're obedient, right? He does the work. And this talks about, there's going to be things that happen in our lives, right? That sometimes we kind of, it's like hitting that mud, right? We get kind of stuck. And it can become very easy to let our thoughts turn very worldly, right? Where it's like, where we become stuck in this place, the best example I can give you right now is depression. They talk about people who are depressed. They tend to do something that makes their depression worse, and they usually don't even notice they do it. But when they become depressed, they continue in a cycle of depression. Negative thoughts, sometimes like the music, secluding themselves, things like that are all things that actually make it worse. But because they're stuck in this rut, they don't realize that a lot of times. And it's the same thing that God's kind of talking about. There's going to be things that come against you. You know, depression is a stronghold. It is. Oh, gosh, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I just felt that. Depression is a stronghold. God says he gave you life, and he gave you life more abundantly. There is no desire for you to be stuck in a spot where life is anything but joyful and peaceful and everlasting love. He's got good things for you. And just like this song, what I like about this song is it doesn't matter if you're happy, super happy, or you're down, this song fits you. Because as long as we've got breath, we can continue praising. Because just like it's been said over and over right here, you've got the Bible that gives you promises like this one that tells us that we demolish arguments, that and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. It's saying when we take those promises and we hold them, you're ready to fight whatever comes against you. You're ready. So don't let, that's why it says in there, take captive those thoughts. Don't let yourself become stuck. When you hit that mud, don't sit there and start sinking. Don't say, I'm gonna stay here. Don't let your mind get away with you. Don't let it take off on you. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling defeated, when you're feeling sad, when you're feeling like you can't get out of it because you feel stuck, stop sitting there. Get up and praise, because he's wanting to take you somewhere else. That's not what he has for you. It's not where he desires for you to stay. Because in here, he's telling you, take it captive. Those thoughts that come say, nope, that's not of God. Nope, that's contrary to what he has for me. Nope, you can't stay here. Nope, you're done. Because he gave me a promise, and I'm standing on that promise, and I'm going to keep going on that promise until I see it come forth in my life. Don't get stuck. Do not get stuck. And can I tell you, when you don't know what else to do, when you feel like you have nothing left, just like this song says, just praise God. Because as long as we have breath in our lungs, as long as we are here, he has something for you. He's not done with you yet. He's got something more that he wants to give you. And it's not to be stuck. It's not to be stuck in this place of, I don't know what to do and I'm just going to give up. No, don't do that. You already got victory. Take those thoughts captive and don't let them stand in your life. You stand up and say, nope, that's not what God told me. Nope, get out of here. Because as you take those things captives in your life, you will begin to see all the things he has for you. Just like it says, it's already been taken care of. But you got to realize that that mindset is a big part of moving forward. It really is. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't grieve or don't be sad or don't be, I'm not saying those things. I'm saying that there's going to be things in life that happen that God's ready to take you through it. He didn't abandon you when you hit the hard times. He didn't take off the second that things got rough. He's right there, but he's waiting for you to remember those promises and start saying, get out of here. That other stuff's got to get out of here, because God, you promised me this. God, you gave me this. And I am looking to you for the answers. I am looking to you to carry me through. I am looking to you for all the things that you've promised in my life. Keep standing on it. Don't give up, because he's got more for you. Let's sing this one more time.
You know, as I was sitting back there and just listening to the words that were said, listening to some of the songs that were given this morning, songs that the worship team brought out. And if you made notes of those things, you're going to see where my message is going to fit exactly where it is. So I'm just so glad that I don't have to prepare. It just happens. I mean, I'm listening and I'm going, okay, Lord, can I go home now? No. God is so good. God is so good. And what I wanted to say is that I felt that, you know, as I prepared for my message, that he wanted to bless us with hope. He wanted to bless us with joy. And you hear a lot on that. He wanted to get our bones to move, to enjoy his presence. And so there's something that I'm going to have you guys do in a few moments, which was kind of out of my way of doing things, but I know. So take a seat for a moment and thank you, worship team, for your ministry. Give the worship team a hand. Oh, you got a word? Go for it.
I don't need it.
No, you don't need it, no.
Praise God, hallelujah. You know, I was talking about spiritual warfare. You know, the word of God says, you know, what the sister, you know, she talked about it. And the thing is that he says, word of spiritual warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds and imaginations and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing under captivity every evil thought under the obedience of Christ. And you know, Jesus, that word, you know, that name, Jesus, yeah, move mountains. You know, the world uses it to, it's a curse, but the thing is, you know, that Jesus, every time I hear that, you know, when the world uses it, watch out. I say, watch out. I says, you know, that name has a lot of power, you know. Yeah. And the thing is that, you know, we need that, I heard some prayers, you know, like, you know, the thing is, you know, when we come boldly to the throne of grace, the most important thing, the first thing you got to do is thank him. Yeah. Thank him for everything he has done, yeah, you know, and then start worshiping him. Yeah. He don't need to know your problems. He already knows about our problems. You see, we just worship him and praise his holy name, you know. We know the word. The word says, you know, he's not a man that he should lie, or son of man that he would repent. He says, if I say I would do it, you know, I will do it. You see? And he's comparing himself with us, you know, saying that he's not a man that he should lie.
Amen.
A man that he should lie. Or a son of man that he would repent. How many times do we, you know, we promise our children, you know, things, you know, and all of a sudden, this is, hey, Tata, didn't you say, but not today, tomorrow, you know? But the thing is, we always repent of doing things, you know? But God doesn't. You know, every time, you know, if I ask him for something, I know I'm going to receive it. Why? Because he said so. Because God said so. He says, you know, you bring everything into my remembrance. And that's what he talks about, you know, bringing everything to his remembrance. You know? Lord, it's like one time, you know, I kept getting laid off and everything. And all of a sudden, you know, the whole top of my radiator, my 57 blew. I knew it was going to happen. But the thing is, you know, I was out there, you know, looking to the hills up there. And I says, Lord, I need to go back to work. Because over here in town, they ain't got no money. because you know, they will not hire you. You know, they will not hire you because, you know, they say, well, the mines are making more money than us, you know. And we know that you'll go back over there, you know. Yeah, you know, you qualify for all this, you know, everything we do here in the plant, but we know you're going to quit on us. Well, if you give me 3/4 of what they, you know, they will pay me over there, says, you know, I'll stay. No, we can't. Okay. So the Lord put me back in the mine, you see. Every time it would happen, you know, he would put me back in the mine. And a lot of people, you know, like I'll be hunting out there right outside the gate out there because, you know, there are big deer out there, you know. And the thing is, the devil inside of mine, I said, hey, I heard old Reuben, man, is over here hanging around the gate out here, you know, so they can call him back. I didn't even think about it. I wasn't even thinking about it, you know. And then, you know, Henry tells him, he says, no, what do you mean? Reuben's working. He's putting his day off. That's how come he's out there hunting, you know. But I knew that he was, you know, God was going to put me back with him. I was laid out 6 times. And out of 6 times, I didn't lose nothing. All my vacation, everything got back. Why? Because I trusted in the Lord. I know he was going to put me back in there. You know, he said he'll do it. Amen. You see? In James, you know, somebody was quoting the scripture, feel joy, it says, when you fall into diverse temptations. And, you know, these trials and stuff like that. He said, how are you going to feel joy? Because the word is in us. Amen. We know that his word is in us. And whatever, you know, we ask God, we know we're going to receive it. I don't even have to ask him, you know, and I receive it. You see? There was one time, this is funny, but the thing is, over across the line, you know, in I used to send my daughter to Nogales. I wanted some cajeta. You know, that thing is made out of, I think it was goat's milk. I'm not sure. But the thing is, it was good. And then she went over there asking for it. And the thing is that they told, hey, your dad's from here, huh? He was raised here. He was born here. And she goes, yeah, how do you know? Because those are the only people that come over here and ask for that kind of cajeta. And I praise God, you know, last time I went to Nogales about, 3 weeks ago, they put it back on the shelf. You see? He fulfills the desires of God.
Amen.
That's what he does. You know? And you got to feel that joy.
Hallelujah.
You see? That joy is the one that, you know, that gives us that, you know, like it says right there, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah. You know? It's our strength.
Amen.
You know, right here it says, bench this. You know, that cross, you know, that cross. This morning I was watching television about the cross, and, you know, it was about prayer. And the cross, right here was a big old, I'm going to say a pond. But the thing is, this pond, the water raised, it was all above it. And up here was the Jesus, you know, hung on the cross. But he still had a cross here. But water was coming down. And over here, when they hit the ground, waves will come up. And that's why I talk about waves. Blessed is our man, he says. That trust in the Lord, he says, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers. It says that whenever, it says, you'll never see one back comes. It says he will be raised and bear fruit. Okay? And the thing is that I got a picture. I was coming down from Bisbee to Sierra Vista. And right there, San Pedro River. Have you ever seen a barkley? Broccoli, whatever you call that. Broccoli. Yeah. Broccoli. Anyway, you know how bushy it is. Yeah. Well, these things, they look like that, but giants, they're way up in the air. You know why? Because that water came down from the river like this, and they grew. That root grabbed some good ground, you see. And that water came from above. It doesn't have no chlorine or nothing like that. You know, it's a tree. I mean, it's water, pure, coming from above. And then another thing, you know, talking about. Well, the way I say, you know, I get up there and I says, Lord, give me some of your breath and fill my lungs and heal this mortal body. And it says right there in Romans 8, it says that the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that dwells in us.
Amen.
And it says, we'll quicken our mortal bodies. We'll refresh our bodies. You see? So we are healed in the name of Jesus. You see? That water that came from the cross when he was pierced in the side. You know, we can't be like Thomas. Oh, I got to thrust my finger through his wounds in order for me to believe. What did Jesus say? He says, you believe because you have seen, but blessed are those that have not seen and believe, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Ooh, no, I gotta go. Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Okay, service is over. Go home. Thank you, Reuben. As I said a little bit earlier, I'm going to do something a little different this morning than what I normally do, but I did feel that the Lord wanted to bless us with joy, wanted to bless us with laughter, and wanted to bless us with hope. So you're going to have to play along with me, okay? What I'd like you to do is stand up, okay? Find somebody to pair up with. First of all, put my first scripture up there. It's Proverbs 17:22. Okay? And this is what this is. What I want you to do is just find somebody that you can pair up with. And it says here, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So I felt God wanted to cheer us up. Who wants to have dried bones, right?
No way.
No. We want, you know, God wants to bless us with laughter. He wants to bless us with joy. And that's what I said about the music this morning. It's all about that. It was to get us to just embrace his presence and what he wants for us. So this is what I want to do. We're so... sometimes we get so bogged down, we can't even smile anymore. We don't see people smiling. So you're going to pair up with somebody next to you. And if you're by yourself, go find somebody. But what you're going to do is you're going to turn and look at each other and look at your face. And you're going to smile for 30 seconds. It's a 30-second experiment. Now, surely we can do that, right? Just find somebody to smile with. I'm going to time you. Wait a minute. Not yet. I'm going to time you, so don't get started yet. But for 30 seconds, you got to have a smile on your face and look at each other's face. I know it's hard to look at each other's face sometimes, but... Okay, are we ready? Ready, set, go. No, you got to look at each other's face, but you got to keep that smile. Come on. Got to keep that smile. Can you keep that smile? Come on. I know it feels like 30 minutes, but it's only 30 seconds. Can you do that? Smile. No frowns. No, keep looking. You can't look away. If you look away, we start all over again. All right. I went a little over 30 seconds, but you did good. Give yourselves a hand. You can be seated again. One of the things that you notice and think when you're doing something like that, as simple as a smile, it lifts your heart and it lifts us up. We need to do that just as we're out in the world. Give somebody a smile, just say hello to somebody. And you notice that just to take 30 seconds, you start laughing before you know it. It isn't just a smile. You got to laugh because it's kind of silly, huh? But here's a little bit more medicine for your spirit. I'm going to tell you a few jokes. Okay, I told you this was not normal for me. But I do have a heck of a sense of humor, really. Yeah, I hang out with you guys. I got to have a sense of humor, you know? Okay, so here's a joke. As a man was driving on the I-19 freeway, his cell phone rang. Answering, he heard his wife's voice urgently warning him, "Henry." Oh. I might have had a little to do with changing the name in this joke here, you know? It didn't say who the wife was, but I kind of thought it might have been a Rosie. But anyway, it says, "Henry, I just heard on the news that there's a car going in the wrong direction on I-19. Please be careful." "Well," said Henry, "it's not just one car, it's a bunch of them." Come on. Here's one more. A little girl asked her mom, "How did the human race appear?" The mother answered, "God made Adam and Eve. They had children, and then all mankind." 2 days later, the girl asked her dad the same question, and the father answered, "Many years ago, there were certain monkeys. From them, the human race evolved." The confused young girl returned to her mom and said, "How is it that you told me that the human race was created by God, and Dad said that they developed from monkeys?" The mother answered, "Well, dear, it's very simple. I told you about my side of the family, and your father told you about his." And one last one. A Sunday school teacher asked her children, where's the Sunday school teachers here? They're already gone. Sunday school teacher asked her children, "Why is it necessary to be quiet in church?" And one bright little girl replied, "Because people are sleeping." Well, I hope that my message today doesn't put you to sleep. But it is good to laugh, isn't it? We get enough of this other stuff, you know. And that's what my message is about today, just life and how we deal with it. And the gist of the message is just, instead of looking outwards, to look upwards. And that's where your answer is. So the first scripture I'm going to take you to is John 6, starting with verse 1. Okay. It says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up to a mountain and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people?" Well, I'll stop there. Sounds like Jesus had a problem, huh? Yeah. Sounds like he had a problem. So Philip was the only guy that could solve it, or not. So he's looking at what he's asking Philip, how do we do this? And the next line says he asked this only to test him, for he was already what he already had in mind what he was going to do. Okay? So Philip was looking at cost, as we'll see here. It says it would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. So Philip was looking at the cost and maybe the travel time that it would take to go buy what was needed. He was looking for a human solution and saw limits. And then the idea is that Jesus did have the answer. This was just a test for Philip. Jesus had the answer. Could we sometimes focus more on the problem than the problem solver? You're looking everywhere except up. You look at your circumstance and you say, I can handle this. I can do this. We forget where everything we have comes from. So let's go on. It says, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? So more than 5,000 people are out there, and Andrew finds a young boy who had brought his lunch. And there were probably others in that group that had brought food too. This was a small amount of food. And but maybe those people never thought that what they had brought would make a difference. But this young boy, seeing the need, offered what little he had. You know, it's nice to have childlike faith and see a need and say, I can help. Rather than who knows what many of the other people that were sitting in that same group, they were just there for whatever other reasons. But this little boy's small lunch did make a difference. Some of us feel that what we have is not important, but when you give it to Jesus, he's able to do miracles. Let's go on with verse 10 on. It says, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated, and they gave as much as they wanted. He did the same thing with the fish. So it says that they all had enough to eat. And so they had enough to eat, and they even had leftovers. And so whenever God does something, he just doesn't accommodate the need. He gives an abundance. So they had leftovers that were given out to, you know, here they were without anything, but they did have leftovers when he was done. And what he gives, it gives an abundance, and he gives beyond our small expectations. We place limits on the things that he's able to give us, and we don't think big enough. So it says that, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who's come to the world. And Jesus, knowing what they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew to a mountain by himself. So the reason I use this story is, you know, you can go through the Bible and find all kinds of different places where Jesus performs miracles and things beyond what we ever think of. And I picked this one because I think a lot of us can identify with some of the characters that are shown in this story. You look at the character of Philip, and he's looking for a human solution. He's seeing his problem and focusing on the problem, which Jesus knew it wasn't. There was no answer to that problem. But that was his way. And I think a lot of us can relate in that area that we do that. Something hits us one of life's problems hits us and we forget to pray. We forget to reach out to God. We just start going for the problem. Sometimes that problem, because there is no earthly or human solution, it overwhelms us to the point that sometimes we don't know what to do. And so when there is no solution, there is a solution. When you don't see the solution, there is a solution. How about the young boy? He's offering something that seemed meaningless. As you looked at, whoever was there, the rest of the people, that small amount of food seemed like, what is that going to do? But he gave it. He gave all he had. And that's all that Jesus asks us to do, is to give what we have and watch him work. If you don't have enough, if you don't have enough trust, if you don't have enough, maybe you don't hear enough as you should. It's like, trust him. Know that he wants to talk to you. Know that he is speaking to you. Don't focus on what the problem is. Focus on who he is. And how about the other 5,000? You say, here's a little boy and a few disciples, and you got 5,000 other people. It says at least 5,000, because, of course, they had women and children also. And you think about the other people. How many were there just to get fed? How many just felt, hey, yeah, that guy gives us food, so let's keep walking with him, How many were there maybe complaining more than they were enjoying the time? Hey, George, how'd I let you talk me into this? I could be home right now, Some of them probably looking at their watch, hey, the game starts pretty soon. Let's hurry up here, So who knows what the other people were thinking or doing, or some of them I'm sure were there because that's where they were supposed to be. And so I know that a lot of us can relate with whomever these characters are. But the one that I hope you all relate with, that I want you to relate, was the character of Jesus. This is the one that you should see yourself in. Because he looked up to the source. He looked up to the source of all things. He gave thanks, and he saw an answer. So that is the gist of my message. Looking upwards and not outwards. Because looking outwards is just going to bring more problems. But when you look upwards, regardless of what it is, regardless of if it looks undoable, for him it's doable. Let's just go ahead and go on to Colossians now. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Okay, that says, Colossians 3:1-2 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. In the previous scripture, it said that on verse 6, it said that, what did I put that down? I lost my notes. Anyway, in verse 6, it said that we were to keep our mind on the things above and not on earthly things. So whatever happened there, whenever he was dealing with Philip in verse 6, Jesus already had his time with the Father. He already knew. It said this was a test for Philip. He already knew what was going to happen. And so his mind is set already on what the Father's doing, what the Father's going to do. He's not looking at the problem. He's looking at the Father. And so he knew what the Father had already made available to him. His part was that it would be manifested in the natural. So setting our minds on earthly, on things that are, our minds on things above, is not only to look at the eternal reward, but that today That's the day here on earth. The day here as we walk through our life, that we allow our mind to see what our spirit already knows. It's looking at life with God's eyes and seeking what he desires. Relying only on what our eyes see and our minds understand can place limits on the outcome. Our small thinking can restrict the abundance that God did have in store for us. You imagine that? You know, that sometimes we think we're so mature and that we really got a handle on what God's doing. And you find out that you hit those snags, if you want to call them, where we just don't know where to go. And yet we know that he does have an answer. His ways of doing things are limitless. The things that he has for us are limitless. Our thoughts and our ideas have limits. We don't know how much we can ask for. All we could ever need has already been provided by his grace. Everything has already happened when Jesus died on that cross. Every provision that there possibly could be was taken care at that cross. He shed his blood so that our sins could be covered. He broke his broken body, took care of all the sicknesses and diseases. When everything was taken care of, and he said, by my grace. Not because we were so wonderful, but just because of his grace. It was already taken care of many years ago. It's easy to see Jesus performing countless miracles, but yet not seeing ourselves doing the same. Do you ever kind of read the Bible and you look at all those things and you get so encouraged, and it's kind of like one day, and yet we don't see ourselves in that place. You go, well, that was Jesus. You know, I can't turn two fish and three loaves or whatever into feed 5,000. It just, that happened back then. And whatever the circumstances are in our lives today, it's easy to see Jesus doing it, but it's not so easy to see ourselves doing it. So therefore, what happens when you don't see yourself doing that? It makes you feel that your faith maybe isn't big enough, that you're just not there. So I ask you a question. Was there a time that you asked Jesus to come into your life? And do you now know that you now have his Holy Spirit living inside you? So I hope the answer from everybody to those two questions is yes. You asked Jesus. You received his Holy Spirit. So if we received all of Jesus, you got to think, it wasn't just a portion, right? It was all of Jesus that we received. And since we have all of Jesus, we also have all of his faith. It isn't that he just gave us a portion of himself or a portion of his faith or a portion of his love or a portion of his grace. Whatever he is, whoever he is, we've got all of him within us. So if we have all of his faith, then we have faith without limits, because that's his faith. So all we need is our own little mustard seed faith. We talk about mustard seed faith, a little tiny little bit of faith, right? And all that mustard seed faith has to do is to have faith enough to have faith in Jesus's faith. If we can believe that the fullness of Jesus is within us, and that all those things that took place in the New Testament, of the things that he did, all those things, and even in the old, if we can have enough faith to believe that, and I hope, I could say, I believe you do, or else you wouldn't be sitting here, right? You wouldn't be sitting here listening to anything that anybody has to say. We believe that one day we're going to be with him in heaven. We believe that all those things that he promised us in this book are true. Everything is truth, everything he says. So why can't we believe that whatever he can do, whatever he did, that we can do. Not John, not Robert, not Henry, just Jesus through us, okay? In him, we can do all things. We can do even greater things. And yet, we seem to kind of shy back on the things that that can go on. That's Jesus calling. He's saying, yeah, I can do it. Okay. So everything that is true of Jesus is true of our born-again spirit. And revelation of who we truly are in him comes as our minds are renewed and the barriers are removed. Every day is a small step. I know every day is a small step for me. You know, just about the time I think I grasp something, then I see where I still need more growth in that area. And I think we're all that way. And I welcome that. I welcome that new thing that I go, whoa, I never saw it that way. Where if somebody enlightens me with a revelation from God, I don't just shrug it off. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. Maybe it's something that I haven't heard, you know. And so I hope that we're all open to the new things that God is doing, not only in yourself, but even as you see the body growing. And don't just get stagnated with tradition. Be ready to learn some new stuff. And guess what? This church wants new stuff. We don't want to be stagnant water. Amen. So now let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. And it says, therefore, we do not lose heart, and though outwardly we are wasting away, and yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. And since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Life can surely take a toll on us. That's what I said. A lot of the words that I heard today, you know, it really relates with what we go through each day. We all have some kind of issues that go on in our lives. Financial issues, physical ailments, troubled relationships, loss of a loved one, and even the news of the day. Another hurricane, another fire, another shooting, another virus. Doesn't it seem like it's always worse than the last one? Everything seems to get worse and worse. And some of the issues may seem to have no end. And we wind up accepting that tomorrow will be no different. It's a no wonder that so many can lose their peace, their joy, and be in fear of the future. Yeah, it can lead us to lose heart and want to give up. And that just put me here a reminder. I thought this message was about laughing and having fun and having great... It just changed. No, it didn't. Because incredible as it may seem, the problems, as that says, is only temporary. Can you, we're still here. Can you look back at your life and just try to remember some of the things that you've gone through? You know, some of the things that seem like, boy, this is it. You know, I don't want to go on with life anymore. You know, it's just too much for me. But we're still here. Somehow we found him and we're still here. Regardless of whether we went through slumps on finances or, you know, we had people in our life that didn't make us happy, whatever that may be, the different things that have gone on in our lives, somehow we found a way and we're still here. So whatever it is that you're going through today, look at it as temporary. You will get through it. You will, but it depends how much time you want to spend looking at your problem or giving it to God. Because he's got that answer. He's got that whatever it is that you need to do and whatever you need to go through, He's going to walk with you through that. Sometimes it seems like, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to be doing this. But if you knew, and I hope you do, that just as Jesus walked with his disciples physically, he's walking with you today. That same Jesus walks with you in life today. The word tells us not to fix our eyes on what is seen, but what is unseen. So this is the time to draw from an inner strength that can only come through the Holy Spirit. Our temporary weakness allows the resurrection power of Christ to strengthen us moment by moment. Sometimes it feels like it takes forever for us to get through through something that we're going through. And even if it takes a little while, but if you can draw from that strength, something that is, it's supernatural. It's not you. You don't have it. But you can surely draw it through the Holy Spirit. There is a strength in there that is just kind of sitting. And sometimes we just, you know, walk right over it and say, I got it. I got it, Lord. I'll handle it. And it's just not going to work for you. He'll get you through it. But how much time do you want to spend where you're at? 40 years? We know another group that did that, right? So as you go through these problems, just remember that we don't have to tell Jesus about our problem because he already knows what our problem is. We just tell our problem about Jesus. You start talking to your problem. You start seeing what you're facing and showing the power that Jesus has in your life, and that problem's not going to seem so large. It's not going to seem so overwhelming, even if it seems at that moment. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians 1, starting with verse 17. It says, keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And before I go on with that, I have always been blessed by that part of that scripture. The eyes of your heart. Can you imagine if everything that we saw with the eyes of our heart? That when we see our brother or sister or even the way that things are around our surroundings, that if we saw it with our heart and saw the love that is needed rather than the criticism that we're giving, because when we look with our eyes, when we hear with our ears, and we let our mind kind of get our little thing going in there, we can do a lot of damage, can do a lot of damage. But when you look with your heart, that's looking at it with the eyes of God. So let's go. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe, as he exerted when he raised Christ. Are we done? Okay, we can stop there. Oh, you got it? As he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Once more, the wisdom and revelation that God has for us can be seen only with the eyes of our heart. We need to put this obstruction, and I mentioned this obstruction, our mind. We need to put this obstruction in its right place. Because if we let our mind oversee our spirit, we're going to have small thinking. We're not going to see things the way that God sees them. We're going to place limits to the things that God wants to do in our life. And so when we place this mind to be controlled by the Spirit, now it's in its place. Now we can hear what God's saying and get this mind as it renews itself to come into that obedience that we talked about earlier. Come into the obedience of what the Spirit wants to do in our lives. And so it's beautiful to have a mind. God didn't just put that there so that we could kind of don't pay attention to it. It's beautiful that we have a mind. It's beautiful that he's given us a brain to think and to reason and to make decisions. You know, it's not about just us sitting back and saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to sit here all day at this chair and we'll see what happens. I'll wait and see what you do. You know, just as we said before, right? You know, even like Peter, he had to step out of the boat to find out what he could do, to find out that he could do what Jesus did. Jesus walked on water, so could Peter. And so it's good to have a mind. It's good to be able, but it's not good to let it be in control of your actions. So I don't think that any of us truly realize what having the fullness of Christ within us really means. I really don't think we do that. I know for me personally, when I think I do, as I mentioned earlier, I realize that I still need a lot of growth in that area. I still need to see just how much less of me there is and how much more of him I need. You know, just as John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he can increase. Well, that's my prayer. I want to decrease so that he can increase. And the more I allow him to increase, the more that I see the miraculous happen, the signs and wonders happen. Not because I'm such a good guy, but because of who he is in me. I'm going to read. Can you put back verse 21 again? Okay, verse 21 says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ throughout.
Jesus.
Is that what I said? No. I kind of lost it. Okay. I came up with a different reading. Okay, let's just go on to Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Okay, let's read that. It says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow on heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That says name above all names. And Reuben brought that up a little bit ago, just the power that lies in that name. Sometimes we take that name so lightly, you know, and we end our prayers with in the name of Jesus. But we don't really see the fullness of what that means. Name above all names. So I hope that when you see that you see a truth in the power of the scripture and not just the words. We can read that and just see words, but if you can see a truth, if you can see a power in what this scripture is telling you, then we'll be able to take that, and when we do speak it, it's going to mean something. So when a name such as cancer comes up, I mean, that seems to be one of the ugly ones, right? When a name such as cancer comes up, you can say cancer. And say cancer, in the name of Jesus, you must bow down.
That's right. Amen.
You must bow down in the name of Jesus. You could speak to your body and whatever it is that's going on with it, if it's a health issue, if it's finances that are coming against you, finances. You're having bad finances in the name of Jesus. Get in order. Get in order. Get in the name of Jesus. Speak to your addictions. Sometimes we have things that we can't get out of, but you can. You can. You can speak the name of Jesus to whatever it is that is coming against your body, whatever it is that is coming against your mind. Those things that are around the world, as I said before, sometimes it seems like they're overwhelming. And so whether it's finances, addictions, viruses, and even hurricanes, you know, we've seen that take place here. We've had where you could see that there was going to be a hurricane hitting in a certain part of the United States. People prayed. People in this church prayed. And that guy just kind of turned around and went back into the ocean. We have that. Why is it okay to have Jesus say, you know, tell the storm to stop, but it's not okay for us? I thought we had all of him within us. I thought we had whatever faith he had within us. So why is it that we go, well, I'll let somebody else do it? No. He put you on this earth so that he gave you everything you need. He gave you, you can come in his name. You are a representative of God Almighty. You are a representative on this earth of the God that created whatever it is that we have to come against. And so if we could somehow get that in here, it's already there, but if we can get it in here, oh, the wonders that would happen here. You wouldn't have people sitting here with ailments or with emotional issues, or you wouldn't have the things that I mentioned, things going on in the world. And so I know sometimes you find it that, yeah, it's good for the other person, but I'm different. And no, it's not. So all I can say is stop getting beat up. Stop getting beat up. Know who you are by knowing. And one of the things that you need to know is his word. Know his word. Know what he says, who he says you are. You know that one of Satan's greatest weapons? What would you say one of Satan's greatest weapons is?
Fear.
Right. That comes up all of a sudden. Fear, right? But Satan, one of Satan's greatest weapons is the ignorance of man for God's word. Not knowing what's at the tip of your fingers. And so when fear comes at you, if you knew what God said about fear, you wouldn't have fear, right?
Amen.
And so a lot of that, we wind up kind of submitting to those things that are so obvious to us because we see them with our eyes. We see those things that are coming against us. And trust me, I'm not saying pretend they're not there. Hey, if your body hurts or if that paycheck isn't coming around as big as you thought it would, yeah, it's there. But God also has a provision for whatever that may be. And so expect new revelation of the Holy Spirit each day and every moment. Get in his word. Get to spend time with him. Find out what he has for you, and not for the guy sitting next to you, for you. Because when you find out what he has for you, then you can share with that person that's sitting next to you. But you have to know where you're at first. You know, it's not up to us to, or even someone like me, I'm sitting here preaching, you know. I'm telling you, oh yeah, that's the way. I got to know it. I got to have it in me. I can't be telling you, you go do that. Do as I say, not as I do. Uh-uh. I want you to do as I do if it fits for you. But if God's telling you to do it a different way, hey, as long as you get to the same place that he wants you to be at, God bless you. So there's one more thing. This is kind of the end of my message. But there is one very important thing that we still need to do, and that's communion. So while the ladies and gentlemen are passing out the elements, I'm going to read another scripture for you as they pass it off, which still pertains to what my message has been for today. And that's Ephesians 3, starting with verse 14. So as elements are being passed around, I will read this to you. And this was a prayer from Paul to the Ephesians, but I felt that today this was a prayer for this church body. So it reads, starting with verse 14, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father," and this is a prayer, so receive it, "from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." And take this in, church, the fullness of God, not just a portion, not just a little bit of him. Everything that Jesus is, you have within you. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." You cannot imagine what he has for you, guys. You cannot imagine. But try. "More than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Receive this prayer, church. There is a Holy Spirit within you that wants to talk to you, that wants to reveal himself more and more, moment by moment, every day. And there is a Jesus that is sitting at the right hand of the Father and waiting for us to put all enemies at his feet. But we are his church, and the sooner that we get it, the sooner that we take our place, the sooner that we just know that it's not who we are to get beat up. You know, Jesus doesn't want us to get beat up. So the sooner we take our place, not only would it be better for us, but the sooner that all of Jesus' enemies are at his feet. So we have your elements, and I just want to make a comment on that. When we are done, please pass your little cups to the sides and someone will pick them up. But we do have, we really treasure being able to participate in communion. All the other Sundays, we have it back there in case you and your family or just you want to go do it on your own. It's individual. But first Sunday of every month, we like to join together as a church, as a family. And it is a privilege. It is a privilege to be able to come before the Lord and join him at his table. And I always keep saying this. This is not just something we do. This is a privilege. This is coming before God. It's not a tradition, just per se. It's not anything that just isn't important. It's very important. So Paul tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that he took bread and gave thanks, and he broke it. and he told him that this was to take it for his body as it was broken for you. Know that when you take bread and you remember that his body was broken, it's for our healing. So receive, when you take this, receive it. If there's something going on in your body, as we spoke about, just say, Lord, when I take this bread, I trust that healing will come upon my body. Just do that. And in the same way, he said that he took the cup and told him that this was a symbol of the blood of Jesus. And we know that when he hung on that cross and they put that crown of thorns on him, and they nailed his feet, that every drop of blood came forth from that person. All for you. Please take the cup. Just take a moment to allow his spirit to minister to you. And in your time, just thank him for who he is in you. Thank him for what he did in your life. As I pray, Father God, thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you gave yourself, Lord, for us. Thank you, Lord, that you are anything and all things that we could ever desire in our lives, Lord, that we could ever depend on, Lord. I ask that you would bless every person, Lord, that is sitting here this day, Lord, and that this is just not another word, Lord, that bodies would have gotten healed this morning, Lord. Sicknesses would be lifted. That bodies would be strengthened. Whatever it is, Lord, there is nothing on this earth, Lord, that you do not have power over. Name above names, above all names, the name of Jesus. I speak that to every person sitting in this building this day. And Lord, all those other things that the world brings, Lord, lift, give us direction, Lord. Show us where you want us, Lord. So that the enemy doesn't have a foothold, Lord, on our day, Lord. We receive your joy. We receive, Lord, your strength. Just as we've been saying, Lord, your joy is strength for us, Lord. Joy is strength. Liven up our bones, Lord. Bless us with a merry heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, thank you. Go home, guys. Enjoy what God gave you today. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.